Before Tony could come up with an Oscar-winning speech that would win over the girl, things went somewhat awry. He woke up at 0600 on the day he was supposed to say something that would get the girl to the dulcet tones of his cell phone screeching and demanding attention. It was Gibbs on the line. Of course it was Gibbs who interrupted his plans to get to home base with his partner, telling him he had to come to work. Apparently there had been a break in a case they'd started working several months ago to do with a petty officer who'd washed up on Virginia Beach with a bullet hole in his head. Team Gibbs's Sunday off was canceled. Tony spent the first 2 hours of that morning sitting at his desk across from Ziva. Everything was strictly professional, and neither gave any indication that things between them might have been changing. Gibbs didn't squint at them, or sigh knowingly, or slap, or swear, or fire anyone. Tony hoped they'd stay off his radar for a little while longer. At least until he'd worked out what to say, had said it, had been handsomely rewarded for saying it, and had managed to move him and Ziva far away from the destruction that Gibbs's mighty volcano of anger would create. It was late morning when Gibbs sent Tony and McGee out to the docks at Virginia to question the brother of their dead petty officer, and lunchtime by the time Tony got his ass kicked. But for the record, so did McGee. The questioning of the brother was supposed to be routine. They didn't suspect him of being involved, but wanted his help in developing a timeline of his brother's last days to see if they fit with information that had just come to hand. But the brother, a dock worker who was at least twice Tony's size and all muscle, and who they would later discover had a meth addiction, had taken one look at their suits and badges and came out of the blocks fighting. The first punch broke McGee's nose and sent blood spraying all over the concrete floor. The second missed Tony's head by a hair's breadth, and the third landed a blow that felt like it pushed Tony's stomach into his back. One bullet from McGee's gun found its way into the mountain man's shoulder, but it barely slowed him down. With blood pouring down his arm, he grabbed Tony around the waist and rammed him backwards into a wall, cracking the back of Tony's head against the concrete and blurring his vision. What followed was a knockdown, drag-out fight that left Tony and McGee bloodied, bruised, and a little bit broken before Tony could grab his gun from the corner it had been kicked into and fire a shot that shattered the man's knee and brought him down. The ambulances arrived before Gibbs and Ziva, and the paramedics were able to give the mountain man a sedative that kept him still when they strapped him down. Still bleeding and in a fair amount of pain, Tony and McGee were questioning the other dock workers about their co-worker when Gibbs and Ziva came striding into the warehouse like badass leather-clad superheroes with machine guns. After a brief exchange of information, several terse words, and one or two sympathetic glances, Tony and McGee tagged out and were sent to the hospital to get checked out. A three-car pileup on the highway involving kids and the elderly meant that when they arrived in the ER, the agents had to wait. They passed an hour without painkillers by telling each other the grossest stories about previous injuries they could think of. McGee won first and second prize with a story about the time he fell into a fence as a kid and ended up with 6 inches of lower intestine hanging out of the wound, and another about when he broke his tibia so bad the bone poked through his skin. Tony was still asking about what his intestines looked like when the nurses came to wheel McGee off to be x-rayed, stitched, and have his nose reset. He passed another 20 minutes on his own, gritting his teeth against the pain that throbbed through his entire body and trying to guess the ailments that had brought the other patients to the ER before he was wheeled off for a CT scan and asked 100 questions to make sure he didn't have a brain injury. An hour later, he was waiting for a doctor to turn up to stitch a gash on his right arm that he didn't remember getting when Ziva slipped into the room. He started to smile and sat up straighter, but a sudden rush of blood to his already throbbing head made him moan in pain and slam his eyes shut. "Tony," Ziva said, concern lacing her voice as she touched his shoulder. His shoulder was tender from when he'd been driven into the wall and later into the ground. He gasped and flinched away from her, and the movement made every single joint in his body burn with pain.
"Ow!"
"Sorry," she said, sounding like she was wincing. "Are you all right?" Tony shook his head a second before realizing he should not be shaking his head. "Yeah," he grimaced, his pride making him play his injuries down. "Mild concussion." "What is wrong with your shoulder?"
"Nothing. It's just sore."
She touched his knee. "Well, did the doctor..."
"Ow!"
he cried again and moved his leg away from her. More pain exploded through him, and he couldn't decide whether to blame age, deteriorating fitness, or a beating that was worse than he first thought. "Is your knee sore?" "Yes," he replied, barely managing not to whimper. "It's sore. Everything's sore." He heard her sigh and crossed to the other side of him. "Are you going to open your eyes?" Tony thought about it. "If we can both just be still and quiet for a moment, then yes, I will open my eyes and be 75% confident that I will not throw up." "Are you sure it is just a mild concussion?" she asked. "Yes," he replied, "and you're not being quiet." She heaved another sigh, but didn't say another word. Tony took a deep, but not too deep breath, as the pain in his body slowly ebbed away, and then counted to 20 before cracking his eyes open. Ziva was standing close by and looking at him with a mixture of sympathy, worry, and annoyance. He didn't know why he deserved the last one. "Hi," she said. He attempted another smile, and this time the pounding in his head didn't get any worse. "Hi." He looked down very quickly and attempted a joke to assure her he was feeling better than he was. "What's that you're wearing?" Ziva frowned and looked down at herself. "A sweater?" "Huh," he grunted. "I must be hallucinating the black lace." Ziva smirked. "No, but it appears you have acquired X-ray vision." He stared at her for a moment before his vision swam again and he slammed his eyes shut. She grabbed his arm as he winced. "Tony?"
"Ow, ow, ow!"
he cried and pulled his tender arm away. More pain lanced through him, and God, he didn't like taking painkillers, but maybe he'd have to make an exception. "Sorry."
"It's fine,"
he pushed out and tentatively pressed the heel of his palm against his eye. "I just got really lightheaded all of a sudden." "Oh, good Lord," she muttered. He held up his index finger. "I was not trying to make a dirty comment." She sighed again. "Is McGee all right?" "I don't know," he replied, and carefully opened his eyes again. "I haven't seen him since they took him away to be X-rayed." "Our suspect has just come out of surgery," she told him. "Gibbs is organizing to have agents posted outside his door."
"I have a theory," he told her. "My theory is that he might have killed his brother."
His theory did not seem to come as a surprise to her. "Yes, I think that might be the case."
"I'm a very talented investigator," he told her.
Ziva hummed and looked down at his bloodied arm. "What happened here?"
"I don't remember."
That got him another worried look. "Mild concussion, really?" Tony sighed. "You've had concussions, Ziva," he pointed out. "After the last one you had, you didn't even remember arriving on scene or even seeing the guy who clocked you." She straightened her spine. "I am positive I did not see him. He came at me from behind." "No," he argued. "I saw you kick him in the face before he swung around and cracked you with a jug." She waved her hand through the air, dismissing it. "You are going to have a black eye tomorrow."
"Probably two." Her expression turned sympathetic, and she lifted a hand to his face. What are all the cuts from? Her fingertips made the cuts burn, and he winced and pulled away from her. Once again, pain washed through his whole body, and he began to consider asking the doctor to admit him overnight. That way, he'd get the really good drugs, and it would have the added bonus that he would be away from Ziva while he went through the loopy phase. Being drugged up around her right now, when there were things he still has to say, was a very, very, very bad idea. "Stop touching me!" he almost yelled. Ziva pulled her hand back and crossed her arms as she huffed, and he wasn't 100% sure, but her bottom lip looked like it might have quivered. "Sorry," she said softly, and then cleared her throat. "You are waiting for someone to stitch that?" "Yeah, he said he'd be back in 5 minutes, but that was 20 minutes ago." Ziva nodded. "I will go find someone to help," she said, and then stepped over to the door. On top of dealing with the pain, Tony now felt like a dick for yelling when she was trying to be sympathetic. "Ziva," he called out. She turned to look back at him, her expression completely neutral and controlled. "Don't worry about it," he said. "There was a big car accident before, and they brought in a bunch of people, kids. They've got other priorities right now." Ziva hovered at the door and looked down the hall before looking back at him. "If they do not stitch that soon, it will scar." He flashed her a smile. "Chicks dig scars, Ziva." She crossed her arms again and stared at him, and Tony attempted to put his comment through his male-to-female translator. It seemed ridiculous to him that she might think he was saying what the translator suggested, but he took a punt at it. "Not that I care what chicks in general think," he said slowly. "How do you feel about scars? Because that's what I'm interested in." "Stop it," she said with an eye roll, but it got her to take 2 steps back into the room. "So, aside from your arm and your mild concussion and your shoulder and your knee and your face, are you all right?" Tony sighed and cracked just a little. "I feel pretty crappy." Her sympathetic face was back as she crossed over to him. "Maybe you should lie down while..." Tony cut her off with another "ow!" and another wince when her hand touched his neck, and Ziva threw up her hands before resting them on her hips. "Well, goddammit, Indy, where doesn't it hurt?" The timing and delivery of the movie quote was perfect, and Tony thought it was lucky he'd refused the painkillers after all, because if he'd taken them, he was sure he would have told her right then that he loved her. He sucked his lips into his mouth as he found control of himself, and Ziva looked down at him expectantly. He slid into a smile and played along. "Here," he said, tapping his lips with his finger. Ziva smirked and then held her hands out at shoulder height to assure him she wouldn't touch him anywhere else before leaning in and kissing him gently. It wasn't anything like their previous kisses, but it was warm and soft and made his body throb all over again. Just like last night, their kiss was interrupted by a third party clearing their throat behind them. Ziva jumped back and raised a guilty hand to her mouth, but it was just the doctor returning to suture Tony's arm. They shared a quick look, and Tony read her Gibbs-related thoughts. "We've got to start clearing the area before we do that," he commented. Ziva lifted her eyebrows in acknowledgement and then crossed her arms and leaned against the wall as the doctor pulled the lamp over to Tony's arm. "Habit," Tony said. The doctor looked up. "What's that?" Tony shook his head and gestured at Ziva with his chin. "I'm talking to her. She has a habit of kissing me." "Well, there are worse habits to have," the doctor said knowingly. "Now, you're going to feel a series of little pricks. After his stitches were done, Tony was sent home with instructions to come back the following day for another checkup of his head. Their suspect was still in recovery and wouldn't be ready to be questioned until the following day, and so Gibbs and Abby had taken McGee home to keep an eye on him while he indulged in painkiller heaven. Tony had also picked up some of those painkillers, but so far had steadfastly refused to take them. He was at a crucial point in his relationship with Ziva, and throwing drugs into the mix could potentially be the dumbest mistake he ever made. When he got home, he headed straight for the shower as Ziva poked through his fridge in hopes of finding something to eat. The hot water streaming over his body made every scrape and cut sting, but Tony put up with it while he washed off all the blood and tried to let the water help soothe his sore muscles. There was no doubt about it. He wasn't as young as he used to be, and he had to accept that he was starting to feel it. That's why he couldn't take a punch like he used to, or spring off the ground with ease. Granted, the punches he received from the mountain man had a lot more weight and strength behind them than a regular punch, but Tony knew that even 5 years ago, he wouldn't have been hurting as much as he was now. The hits would have jarred his bones, but not rattled them inside his skin and made him feel as wrecked as he had today. For Tony, it was as good a sign as any that he had to get himself together and make some grown-up decisions. He wasn't a kid with enough time to waste on mistakes and denials anymore, and he couldn't afford to keep waiting around for the right time to go after what he wanted. It was some relief to him, now that he had taken large, albeit completely unplanned, steps in his relationship with Ziva. But he had to take the final one tonight. No matter how badly he wanted to just curl up in bed and die, he had to talk to her like he planned. He was sick to death of keeping the distance between them. If the last 2 months had told him anything, it was that the earthquakes that had been going off between him and Ziva since day one weren't things to fear and avoid, nor were they evidence for reasons they shouldn't be together. The way Tony saw it, they had actually been working to make them fit together better. Every argument led to them understanding each other more. Every explosion had helped knock off the sharp edges that kept them apart and corrected the course they were on. Every stolen touch and almost conversation turned them further towards the positions where they'd fit together the best. Everything had been leading to something, and Tony was finally at the point in his life where he wanted that something to happen now. With determination filling him, Tony shut off the shower and gingerly dried himself off before pulling on long pajama pants. He hobbled out to the living room where Ziva was on the couch with her legs curled underneath her, eating plain pasta and watching CNN. It was a comforting sight on a Sunday night, and he looked forward to it becoming a regular thing. "Hey." Ziva looked up as he announced his presence, but her smile quickly turned to an expression of alarm, and she was off the couch and in front of him in 3 seconds flat. "You did not say anything about that," she said, pointing at his stomach. Tony looked down at the large bruise forming just off center on his belly from where the mountain man had tried to eject Tony's breakfast with his fist. "Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that one didn't tickle." He watched Ziva close her eyes and purse her lips, and he figured she was talking herself out of either yelling at him or sliding into nurse mode. He didn't want her to do either. Well, not without costumes. So he was relieved when she just calmly opened her eyes and gestured towards his bedroom with her chin. "You should go to bed. I will stay and check in on you." But Tony wasn't ready for that. He leant back against the wall and started to cross his arms as he got ready for a significant conversation. but the pain made him shoot upright again and wince. "Damn it," he whispered to himself, but didn't let it deter him. "Look, before I do that, there were some things I was going to say, you know, before I left your place last night." Ziva shook her head and took a half step towards him. "Tony, you do not need to say those things." That wasn't exactly what he thought she'd say. What the hell did that mean? He cocked his head and looked at her measuringly. "Do you mean, are you saying?" He sighed and looked away as he tried to form a complete sentence that would save his pride if she was headed where he feared she was. Are you not interested in hearing things?" Ziva was shaking her head again, more firmly than before, but that and her outstretched hands were supposed to reassure him. "Yes, of course I am interested in things, but they do not need to be said." The throbbing in Tony's head, that had been a companion for a few hours now, got a little stronger as his heartbeat picked up with his panic. He squeezed his eyes shut for a moment and breathed as deep as he could, because, goddammit, they were supposed to be fitting together right now, and they just weren't. "No, Ziva, some things really do need to be said," he insisted, "because even without the head injury, I would be confused right now." Ziva looked a little contrite as the resistance drained out of her, and Tony felt only a teeny bit bad for the blatant manipulation of playing the head injury card. "All right then, say them." Tony nodded slowly and took a breath before realizing that his thoughts on the subject were still a massive jumble and he'd never actually gotten around to pulling out the relevant parts and setting them aside for use at the appropriate moment. He heard slow, sarcastic clapping start up in his head. "Nice work, Dinozo. You are totally ready for this, and there's no way she's going to resist you. Awesome." He sighed deeply and resisted the urge to bang his head against the wall. "I don't quite know how to say it," he admitted. Ziva's contrition turned to amusement. "May I help?" "Okay," he said warily. "You want to keep kissing me," she stated. "Yes, I do," he confirmed. "You hopefully want to do more than kiss me." He broke into a verifying smile, frequently and with great enthusiasm. She allowed him a brief smile. "And you are looking for some permanency," she settled on. There was confidence in her tone, but Tony also heard the slight waver of nerves under the surface. "Yes," he said firmly, as his thoughts finally started sorting themselves out. "Permanency and exclusivity. I can't be patient anymore. I can't keep waiting for the right time because there's no such thing." Her eyes softened and flicked to his mouth. "Is that why you kissed me?" "In the parking lot?" At Ziva's nod, he asked, "What? You didn't think that was romantic?" Ziva laughed before she could catch herself, and then pressed two fingers to her lips as she regained control. But Tony didn't take offense. "That was not planned," he admitted. "That was not even registered as having happened until it was over. That was an instinctive action that was as much a surprise to me as it was to you." "It was slightly surprising, yes," Ziva told him. He eyed her. "Look, before I go on, can you please just give me an indication of whether the direction I'm heading in with all this is somewhere you want to go?" Her head fell to the side. "Permanency?" she repeated softly. "Yes." "Exclusivity?" "Yes." "More than kissing?" "Yes," he nodded, "and I just want to make the point that my thoughts are not entirely focused on that element. It's part of a bigger picture. Although, I will admit that at this point in time, the physical aspect of all this makes up a large chunk of my thoughts. Are you calling me fat? She asked, deadpan. No, he replied lightning fast, and then frowned. What? No! I was trying to say that I don't just want you for sex, although getting you naked is something I'm thinking about a lot right now. Ziva tried not to laugh at him. I was joking, she told him. He stared at her for a beat. I have a head injury, he countered. Ziva seemed to roll her eyes a little, and Tony made a note not to play the head injury card again tonight. But then she leaned into him, and the warmth of her body made his skin prickle. I will not make it difficult for you to get me naked, she assured him. He took that in with a slow smile, but attempted to keep things on track. Okay, so, all that, how do you feel about it? Ziva's eyes traveled the wall behind him as she thought about it. Lucky, she finally settled on. He stared at her again. Hell of a time to be abstract, Ziva. Ziva lifted a hand to touch his chest, but aborted at the last moment, and dropped her hand so her pinky finger could link with his. Does that hurt? No. Yeah, a bit. I have a lucky feeling about it, she elaborated. I think that you are right. There is no such thing as the right time. But it does feel like now is a good time, and I will take that bet. Tony's cheeks hurt when he smiled. Are you saying you have feelings for me? He pushed. Ziva sighed. Are you sure they said it was only a mild concussion? Pretty sure. Ziva looked down at her shuffling feet and then smoothed her hair off her face and opened up to him. Yes, I have feelings for you. Feelings that do not relate exclusively to the urge to strangle you, although that feeling is currently growing within me. She shot him a warning look, and Tony nodded in understanding. Yes, I want to do more than kiss you. Yes, I want whatever this turns into to last as long as possible. And there are things I want to say to you, but... She closed her eyes and took a breath. I am not ready to say them, yet, or hear them. It does not mean that I do not feel them, or that I want to wait to do this until I am. It just means that I need to get comfortable with this first. The leaning towards emotional self-preservation was a classic David move, one that Tony had been dealing with since the moment they met. He understood it, and particularly right now, he couldn't blame her. Besides, she just said that she had feelings for him and wanted to do this. She just wasn't ready to say the L word. Frankly, neither was he. It didn't matter. They'd get there, hopefully. What mattered now was that they were actually going to do this. That's fine, he told her. I need to get comfortable too. Ziva visibly relaxed. Okay, good. He nodded. Good. So, I'm going to kiss you now. Ziva chuckled. You do not have to warn me. You never have before now. He lifted his hand to cup her cheek as he moved closer. Neither have you, he accused against her lips, and then kissed her. He really, really wanted to give himself over to it and make it the kind of kiss that fit the weight of the moment. But Ziva's hands automatically lifted to grip his waist, and Tony couldn't help the extremely unmanly squeal he let out at the pain it induced. Ziva groaned into his mouth and lifted her hands off him, but Tony had to break the moment. Turns out this is actually the worst timing ever, he muttered. Ziva held her hands way out to the sides of her body. I will not touch you. Yes, you will, he protested and took both her hands in his. He wrapped them carefully around him and directed her hands to his butt. My ass doesn't hurt. Keep them there. Tony, she started with a sigh, but he didn't want to hear the argument. He swooped in to kiss her again, and when he was sure her hands wouldn't move, he lifted his to her face. The kiss was kind of painful still, especially on his face, but it was worth it. Worth it. Worth it. Still worth it. Okay, no good. He pulled back again. "Don't take this as a comment on your amazing skills," he started, and Ziva finished for him. "But you are in pain and would like to go to sleep." "Yes, I expected this." She took her hands off him and then followed him as he hobbled into his bedroom and lowered himself into bed. "I'm a fast healer, Ziva," he told her as they both pulled the sheet up over him. "No, you are not," she gently argued. Tony continued on in the hope that if he willed it to happen, it would. "All Dinozos are. It's a genetic thing." "No, it is not. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and..." He trailed off as Josh's disturbing story about his morning with Celeste entered his head. Ziva looked at him oddly. "And forget your name and where you are?" Tony let his eyes fall to look down Ziva's top as she leaned over him, and he successfully replaced the icky thought with a much, much better one. "No, I'm going to wake up and everything is going to be in peak condition again." "Okay," she said, humoring him. "I am going to wake you up a few times during the night so you can tell me how your recovery is progressing and assure me that you are not bleeding into your skull."
"Sounds good."
Ziva leaned over him to turn off the light before placing her hands on his pillow on either side of his head. She leaned down to kiss him softly. "I am very pleased that you still have it in you to surprise yourself." He knew she was talking about the surprise parking lot kiss that had started it all, and he smiled up at her. "Me too. Get some sleep." As she walked out of the room, Tony's heartbeat started slowing down, and the throbbing in his head started to subside. Almost immediately, he started to feel himself drift off, and as he did, he held on to the thought that despite having his ass handed to him today, it was still one of the best days he'd ever had. Because today, he found the place where he fit.